told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And this is where we want to start paying attention. And none of you asketh me whether thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Pay attention now. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He and shall show it unto you. All things that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You'll see me because I go to the Father. Now, this is all I'm going to read. It's for knowledge of knowing where you are. I'm going to close this, and I'm going to talk to you about what we just read for a while. I kind of feel like the doctor that assisted in giving birth to you. Wonderful things that have been transpiring and taking place. I had to pedal fast to catch Esther's office and try to get my mind and my spirit coordinated. There was one universal anointing in this building, but it differs in each one of you. There are some, I'm going to say it anyway, so I may be back. You have come into another dimension in the Holy Ghost. You have been nudging Jesus. I'm going to say this is what Jesus was doing with his disciples. They had come to a place, and they still didn't understand all the details. They did not understand the details. They wanted to them, and sometimes he threw them curveballs and all of this kind of stuff. They were swinging, doing everything they could possibly, every kind of educated being. I mean, from just simple fishermen, if you want to call this fishing, where in the seas and everything, it's not a simple operation. And then he had doctors, he had lawyers, he had Zach Trump. You know what I mean? I just threw that in to give you a break. We'll all be broke by the time this mess is over with. But holding on with everything they had. I've been there. I promise you. I was there. And Doug came down with it last June, just a few weeks off. And for June, July, God just did miracles. I mean, it cleared out of his throat. And then September came, and I don't know. Through August, we was rejoicing. And I've never been in a situation like this in my life. And talked to his wife, and this was her and his second marriage. They'd been married about 4.5 years. Health issues or any of this thing, it was just, to me, I was caught by surprise, I guess, and to be healed. And so I deal with situations around the world, and I said, well, you tell him we're going to stick with him, and we're not going to let up. I said, I told him about you folks. If I can get through this, I just love you. That's all I can say. You're the greatest there is. Don't ever doubt it. If anybody ever tells you, sword of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we dealt with that, and I thought it cleared up. And in October, it's worse, and all this stuff going on. And we were living with it. You were living. I mean, and I said, God doesn't play around like this. And dying, the doctors coming in, and the next week they called me on Thursday or Friday. Doctors come, and we pray for her over the telephone. Well, 2 weeks later, they called me back. I said, well, how's she doing? So, oh, she, and the cancer was completely gone out of her body. I mean, she's healed. Amen. Healed. That's the God you serve. That's the God you serve. And so the bottom line was, finally, we got the truth out of it. 37 years old, and here it was up around 58, 57, and it came back to the church's life, and he had multiple health problems of all kinds. I told him, when I found this out in February, I went to him, and I'll die until I give you up. I said, I met the demon of death. I said, we had it out. I said, I conquered him then. And I said, you can't die until I release you. I'm your shepherd. Before he passed away, his wife came to me and said, Doug really wants you to quit praying for him. I'd die. I said, no, This is what, fighting, it proved his will to him. He wanted to heal him. And but anyway, Doug, 200, 250 people, he was highly respected. We had folks there from companies, wholesalers, Cisco, and I don't know who all, U.S. Foods. And that's why Sister Turner's really not here. The last 2 months has just been 5 o'clock in the morning, getting back up at 5, holding on to God during the day. And Sister Turner left on a man's pant. I mean, she had him tore off. You talking about it a while ago. Your prayers were not wasted. Your energy was not wasted. When you go through these things, you learn that. And you go back to it, and you make sure that you possess it, and it possesses you. It's got to be open and pulls that file out, and it comes into your mind, and it goes to working for you. Amen. Saying, I'm going to go away, and of course that blew their mind. And he said, and then this is my point. He said, everything that that the Father had, everything, he has turned creation over to turned. And he come out of the sepulchre, and Mary come running up to him, and she wanted to grab him and hug him, and he said to the Father. And he said in their righteousness, his righteousness had to be received. It's like putting water in flour. All of a sudden that flour is mingled all through it. And it all has got to be accepted by the eternal spirit. Amen. The Father of creation. He merged into his eternal spirit. This is why that you can go to Africa, or you can go anywhere and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's because it's in the eternal spirit. And so Jesus was saying to them, you have come to the place, you have come to this place, now I'm going to go away, but I've got to present it. The Holy Spirit is coming back. That the Holy Spirit, he's identifying the gifts of the God's Spirit, eternal Spirit, are coming back. Now they're sitting there, saying, and he just got through telling us we're going to get thrown out of the synagogue. He just got telling us we're going to get killed. Or that dimension of the eternal Spirit that deals specifically with humanity, with you and I, is going to come back. Of the power and the gifts, everything that belongs to Jesus, he's going to have access to it, because the eternal Spirit's giving it to him, because he has overcome. Righteousness supersedes everything, and he's reconnected what Adam messed up in the garden with. He's reconnected. This is the second Adam, and so we're back to where we're supposed to be. And so what I want you to understand is that everything that I own, everything that I am, everything that I've acquired, I possess everything that the Father is, the eternal Spirit. I now have it. It's in my back pocket. I can write you a check for it. I can release it to you, but I can't release it to you. It's going to have to be released to you in the Holy Ghost. I, Jesus, can't give it to you, but the Holy Spirit is going to give it to you. Now, I'm going to just tell you, where you're standing is right here. You understand? You're standing here, and the Holy Spirit is releasing, past tense, present tense, future tense. He is releasing to you the gifts that you require of him, because the Holy Spirit manifests these gifts to you in the name. See, Jesus said, all of these belong to me. They're mine. But the Holy Spirit, now that is coming back, and this is why after his crucifixion, he hung around for about 40 days, appearing, disappearing, meeting with them, and all of these things. He was teaching them that I am alive, okay, I am alive. And the Holy Spirit, that it's holy because I had come through my sacrifices, and he's got everything. After he gave them an introduction, even in the upper room or wherever it was, got the door the day before. The political rally just ended. You know what I'm saying? All talking, trying to figure this thing out. We got to elect somebody to take, it says in the old book, and that's all this. All we have is old ideas, old scriptures, and we've never been able to hear in the Holy Ghost. I didn't have that until I sat here, and the angel of this church began to tell me, and your expectations and what you're looking for is now here. Jesus is, I'm the reality in the 21st century. It's God is saying, the Holy Spirit, as you know it, as you've grown in it and talk to your children about it, and it's like a new game, it's a new toy. It gives you the understanding to take, and his Spirit is a manual that explains to us our relationship with the Holy Ghost and all of these things. And then all of a sudden one day we wake up and you are awakened, and you're looking at the depth and the height it is. And so you take one little baby step. Sister Pat, not her being the one that needs the healing. She's the focal point of our love, our affection. The ministry, the church, the decor, everything is because of her. And so love. And so what you're doing is you begin to focus on her. The disciples in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came out and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, said, to the forefront. There were all Sadducees who ruled it, the Pharisees who interpreted it, and the Herodians. Herod took 40 years to build them a shrine, to build them together. And then all of a sudden now, these folks, but they didn't know, I'm going to say it again, they didn't know the depth and the that. And get experience with it. Some of your children and grandchildren have been plundering with it. Why? Because 300 million Americans are about to be dumped in your lap. 300 million Americans. You see, on the day of Pentecost, 100 took place. We've been in church services like that that you couldn't explain. When God gives you just... That's why you know, that's why preachers get in trouble. He just gave it, explain it to you. You see what I'm saying? His word has life. And for you to tell something, you have to possess it and kill it. You possess it and it's yours. You control it and you give it away. But when he, and you're basking in it, hallelujah. And what you don't understand and realize is that the fog all over me, man, I'm feeling it. That's eternal life, amen. That's the gift that's in the Holy Ghost, slice out of it. And we took a bite of it and we found out, taste and see the Lord is good. The Holy Ghost is saying, and I'm trying to keep up with him. I wish you'd slow down a little bit, man. What he is saying to you is that on that day, was it 3,000? Something, but we're going to say 3,000. What happened the next day? You see, on the day of when they really understood, you see, it took them that fifth get out of religiosity, to get out of all of this Christianity. They got to disengage from tradition. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. Could have wrote a check and bought all of us. I mean, there were some high-tech people there. And the world is religion. Religion is what's killing everybody. Somebody's ideology. Somebody's whatever. And that's what was killing Jerusalem. That's what was killing Israel. All of a sudden, they came front, that 120, they came front and center. You couldn't see a change. The place with this church is that you have been connecting, and some of you had to get rid of ideologies and things that you have learned, and arcade jerk and all of this stuff. You see, whenever they stepped out of B.C. into A.D., what's taking place in America is a shift, pretty, but it's going to be powerfully anointed of the Holy Ghost. And keep going back to them. My God, have mercy. The 120 control, that's all they owned, the upper room. And it was rented. I'm sure that somebody fixed it up and not worry about it. There had to be an owner somewhere to take care. They were in the upper room, confusion in their mind. And on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, they owned the upper room. Amen. But all of a sudden now, there was 3,000 added to the church. 3,000. They're going from an upper room to the community. And now they've gone from the Kavaks and the eunuch from Ethiopia, Candace, the queen's servant, money guy. Down Jerusalem, and you follow the Mediterranean over to Ethiopia. He was in a Holy Spirit, picked him up, transported him, and dropped him down in that chariot. Regional. Do you understand there is nobody in this area? And I'm telling you, you don't know that owns this region, but you. I'm just going to say who I am and who I'm connected to, qualified that this region belongs to this church. This is why we're here now. with what's going on in the world, it's a good possibility that we'll never see each other again. You understand? I don't mean anything, and you know me. Ferguson should have never happened. There's other cities that should have never happened. There's a movement in both parties. They're being funded by atheists. The whole assault and attack is to discomfort the United States, its Constitution, its government. But you're what they're after. The Christians. The Christians. They want you taken out. This is your finest hour. Your finest hour. But you see, you are a sleeper. When they crucified Jesus, they took out Christianity. But they missed the upper room. All of the spiraling steeples, all the big television evangelists, everything going on everywhere is identified. It has identified itself. And all they have to do is pull the plug. See, there's going to be blackouts. Don't ever doubt it. They're plundering with it every day. Every day. And it's not all aliens. You believe that? But you see, while they are focused on taking out the television evangelist at the big spiral churches, there's a little upper room group. Do you understand? I'm not jerking you around. They'll drive up and down this road. What are they worried about you for? They're not worried about you. Jesus said they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. They're going to kill some of you. They're going to do all of this. Those that are identified are who they're after. But the praying group are not identified. You connect to the spirit world. You don't connect to the newspapers or the TVs or the politicians. You can't trust any of them. I mean, none of them. Please, I'm not being ugly. I was born this ugly, but I'm not being ugly in my spirit. Amen. I can tell you, they called me Rusty when I was born. You think you got problems. I had freckles. I mean, my freckles touched each other. And when I walked out in the sunshine, buddy, I'm going to tell you now, I was one gigantic freckle. And they called me Freckles until I was 16, 17 years old. My kinfolks. That's why when I got married, I left Texas. I didn't want my wife to know they called me Freckles. Amen. Yeah. Now, I'm going to stay with it. Now, we're going to see some miracles here this weekend. God's going to confirm everything we're saying. Amen. And we're going to see some miracles. We're going to see some miracles tonight. Because this is what God is saying. You're in the upper room, okay? You're hid. You're in the upper room. But you are about to add to your number. Amen. I was in Puerto Rico several years ago. And I was in prayer in a motel room. Now, a motel room in Puerto Rico, or at least the ones they put me in, looked like my grandmother's log cabin was probably better than that little room that they had me in. And the bed was up against the wall on both sides. And Marilyn was with me. And I never took her any place I went except the civilized places, you know, like Haiti and Puerto Rico. And I'm laying on that floor, and I didn't hear nobody, but God showed me a man, pastor of the church. And he said, up here they ride horses. And it's known as the cowboy part of Puerto Rico, whatever, and our Dominican Republic. And he said, this Sunday, I'm going to do a mighty miracle, and the place is going to have a revival. And he's going to come to church and not know where they come from, but I want you to pray for him, lay hands on him. Now, I just called him. I laid there for 5 hours praying so I could fix his face, because you get so much in your mind, things float and drift. They do me, man. I have to look at my driver's license every now and then to just tell them who I am. And so all of a sudden, it synchronized. That night in the service, I'd forgot about it. I looked over, and there he sat. We laid hands on him. He just about tore the place up. I didn't do it. God told me what to do. And this is what I'm saying. God said to them, he told them what to do. You're just upper roomers right now. You stay there until you get endued with power from on high. Don't you come out of that upper room. Don't go out there licking boots and carrying on and all this stuff. You stay in that upper room until you get endued with power on high. And this is what you have done. You have stayed in this church, one big family, one big family. And I know there's been problems. I'm not dumb, man. I've got aunts and uncles and cousins and all of this kind of stuff. I've got uncles that had eight and ten kids, and there's eight of them. And that's why I left Texas. There was no room for any more Turners. It's just not a popular thing anymore. And I'm telling you, you stay in the upper room. You don't worry about your gift or your calling. You stay prayerful. You stay focused. You stay focused. You stay focused. If you learn to stay focused, you can see through a body and find sicknesses. You learn to stay focused. The gift of knowledge is what you've got to have before you come out of the upper room. You've got to have that gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom working. Amen. If you go to the synagogue leaping off, they're going to kill you. Jesus already told them that. You stay there until we add some numbers. The next day, there were 3,000. What's the chances? What are the chances? Jesus couldn't get a crowd unless he was giving away fish, and they had nothing to give away, man. And there they were. The same thing is going to happen right here. And when it happens, don't run out here building some great big temple. Don't run out here doing something and attracting attention. You need to break into home cell groups. Have 8 and 10 meeting at a home all across town, around the community, into the next village or wherever, and do this in their home, praying with them, working with them, praying them through the Holy Ghost, getting them baptized, and move out into the region. And that's what Peter failed to do on the housetop. He couldn't connect when it came time to bring in the Gentiles, and he was laying up there dealing with history, dealing with customs, and dealing with all of this junk. I'm telling you, 300 million are going to be dumped into your lap, and you're going to have to deal with customs. As Michael Savage says, borders, languages, and customs. And if you fail, you're history. If you fail. Do you know where you're located? In the very heart of the United States of America. The very heart. That big arch in St. Louis, supposed to be the gateway to the West. Don't ever look it up, because we can trace it all the way back to Babylon. They're going to take the arch. They were going to put the temple. You know, the temple that Jezebel and Ahab worshipped, that was still left in Babylon, and the ISIS group tore a bunch of it up. Did you know that up until Tuesday, they were going to reconstruct it in New York City? You know who stopped it? I found out about it on Friday. They published it yesterday that they changed their mind and they're not going to erect it. But they are going to put the arch that is still in existence in New York City. You see, remember a while back when they put the picture of the big dragon god on the Empire State Building? You see, this thing's been moving. But you've got to be connected to the Holy Ghost. When he speaks to you, you start doing research and you can find it. You can find it. What I'm saying is this. The thing that made the apostles so powerful, they became covert in their prayer groups. They were praying silent prayers that the politicians and other folks could not. They did this until Saul of Tarsus was converted on the Damascus Road. He was the one handpicked and chosen by the Holy Spirit. He was handpicked by Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit was given to us through the ministry of Christ. So when I say that that is the Spirit of Christ, I'm saying that He has the right to manifest Himself in it. If I owned a bread company, I could put my picture on every loaf. If I owned Shell Oil, I could take the thing down and put my picture up there. And so for Jesus to appear and manifest Himself in the Holy Spirit, it becomes the backdrop. It becomes who He is. I don't have time to explain that in detail, but this is how it works in the spirit world. And you can sense and feel when He's going to manifest Himself, because all of a sudden things get strange, they get anointed, they get powerful, and then it gets extremely quiet. That power is when those angels come to secure the outer perimeter. And that quietness is when He begins to manifest who He is, and He will speak to you. He never speaks in the whirlwind, you might say, though He does. But so you've got to know this, and this is where you are. He's about to turn you loose to experience His power in the Holy Ghost, and that's why we're here this weekend. It's an answer to your prayer. It's an answer to what you want to do. God has brought us together once again because we trust each other and we have come a long way together. And so what you're wanting to do now is get into that depth of prayer. And when you feel it and sense something, you don't just jump up and run off and say, "Oh my God, I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt this." No. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. If it's 30 minutes, if it's an hour, and you'll go through a silent time and you think, "Well, it's over with." No, you don't get up. You don't get up. You stay with it. But this is who you are. And somewhere within that dimension of prayer, He will bring to you a vision. He'll bring to you a revelation. He'll bring to you something. This is what made the church in Jerusalem so powerful. And they grew. They grew within Jerusalem church. But it took Saul of Tarsus to be converted in order to bring them out into a regional dimension. But he was connected to the base. He went to the wilderness. He went there. He sought God. He prayed. He communicated with Jesus Christ. He worked these things out. And then when it came time for him to come back to the works in the church in Wurtsville, Virginia, he came back and he said, "I need to compare notes. I need an anchor. I need an anchor." And you're going to become an anchor for this evangelist and for the work of God that's working in this area and the supernatural things that's happening. And you understand. And then it will become regional. But stay with it and believe God with everything you've got. And this is what the Holy Ghost is saying in His Word, that you are here. You're ready to step into it. Now, you've got some children and grandchildren. You got some folks here that need a revival. They need a revival. You've got to get them trained. You've got to set them down. You've got to communicate with them. You've got to talk to them about the Word of God. You've got to get this thing into that next generation. We're not young folks anymore. But can you imagine? Now, let's just take my 10-year-old grandson. He's got 75, 80 more years. If you add 80 to, what is this, 216? Let's make it 220, add 80 years to it, I don't even know what that becomes. That's so far down the road. Some of you mathematicians can put that together. 100. 4,100. 2,100. 2,100. And then if he has a child that adds another, you see what I'm saying? We've already affecting the age of America. My grandmother was born in 1893. They were still shooting Indians. You understand what I'm saying? What God has designed for you is tailor-made. It won't fit in any other church. It won't fit anywhere else. I think I'm preaching somebody's sermon. That's who you are. He has scooped you up into His arms. And He has put you together for a purpose. And that purpose is more powerful than what you can comprehend. You need seers. Current event seers. Not radical in that you just run your mouth, but radical in that you stayed with it long enough to get the details. I love pancakes, but I don't leave any syrup laying in the plate. I like that better than pancakes. And there comes a time in prayer, you can't leave anything laying on the plate. You've got to take it all. And when you stand up, every demon and devil in hell knows who you are. They know who you are. Every sickness and disease knows who you are. Everybody, they know who you are. Amen. You see, a couple of weeks ago, I quit traveling while Doug was sick. I may have gone out one time, maybe in September or something. I don't remember, but we stayed with it. And things got a little tight. Now, we're just talking about someone who's talking about finances a while ago. Things got tight, got real tight. A couple of weeks ago, someone in my church said, Brother Turner, and I really don't pastor. I don't really have a church. My son-in-law takes care of it, but that's another story. And so someone asked me for $200. Well, I had $200. That's all I had. I mean, I'd been squeezing nickels and dimes, and I mean, I was down. I had two $100 bills left that I had folded up and stuck in my wallet in case of emergency. I mean, my wife needs something. Well, yes, darling, here's this $200, you know. And so they were nudging me, and I said, well, I just have to pray about it. I have to pray. I was on the phone. I said, I'll pray about it. Well, I knew when they called. You know. And I don't like that, you know. I've got things I like to know. And so I sputtered and carried on and fussed and griped about it and told Marilyn about it. And she didn't answer me because she knew what I was going to do. So finally I made a trip to Roanoke. And this is what I convinced myself. I looked at them and I said, it's easier for me to trust God than for them. And in your growth, immediately, you're going to find yourself trusting God for someone who can't trust God. But in the doing of it, you're going to learn and experience something. So I went into Roanoke, Maryland's with me, and she wanted to go by some store. I don't know what store. I said, Maryland, what are you going in for? You know, that's the way men think. What are you going in for? You don't have any money. I'm fixing to go over here and give them that $200. I'm still, you know. She said, well, I'm just going to go and look around. And I said, well, you're wasting my car. I'm not going down. I'm going to sit here in the car. So I sat there in the car, and finally she came out. I went over, and all smiles, and I gave it to them. And they cried, and they needed it. And I said, and when they started crying, well, you know, how do you fight a tear? I've never been able to slap a tear. And I started crying. I said, hey, you don't worry about it. God take care of it. So we got in the car and started back and went by the mall. She said, I want to go in this store over here. Well, by this time, you know, I'm soft. I'm pliable. I've been crying with, you know. And I said, well, it's okay. Well, sure. Go on in, you know. So she went in the store, and I'm sitting here in the car. Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there's $300 in the armrest. I don't know whose armrest you're talking about, but I've been in this armrest 3 or 4 or 5 times today. So I'm sitting there. I wouldn't say I was pouting. May have had an attitude, but it's bad enough I gave away the last I had. And now you're gonna make a fool out of me. And I picked that thing up, and I didn't say any of that because I know that voice. I knew he had me. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's the only one I know that can stack a deck. He ought to work in Las Vegas, but he'd own the world. So I thought, well, I'll open it. I opened it, dug down through there, looking. You know, it's where we put everything. Birth certificates. I dug down through there. You know what I found? Two $100 bills and two $50 bills. I looked at this, I looked up, I said, you know, you're driving me nuts. You're driving me to the point of insanity. Yes. And I can see you sitting up there with that big old smile on your face saying, I got you last, Turner. My wife got to the car. I said, open this. What for? I said, I just want you to open it. Well, what do I want to open that for? I said, I don't know. I just thought maybe you might want to do that. She opened it. She said, oh, my God, you've been hiding money? See, so she took that $300. Or we had it. I mean, she didn't take it, but we got home. We live out in the country. Opened the mailbox. Two $100 bills. I don't even have my mail sent to that box because I'm afraid the neighbors will steal it. $500. My wife giggled. It's worth everything to see her giggle. Yeah. Listen to me. I'm telling you. I can tell you from experience. You can't give it away fast enough. You really can't. I was in one church that he just all of a sudden asked me to take up the offering. I don't like taking up the offering. I really don't. Because when I look at somebody and say, I don't have it, I know I don't have it. And when someone looks at me and says they don't have it, I've given money for people. And you have too. You see, this is why God has chosen you. It's because you don't own anything. You give it away. That little lesson you went through about those finances, been through it many times, but you come out of it but just giving it away. Five here, $10 here, 20, and staying balanced in your spirit. You can run your mouth all you want to, but don't let it get in your spirit. That's the winner. That's where you win. Amen. That's where you win. Now, we're gonna pray for some folks here tonight, and it may end up praying for all of you. But that's okay. We've got all night. Man, we're going to believe God that what happened in the book of Acts, and how many times have we heard sermons? Every general conference, everywhere. I mean, everybody hooping and hollering over Acts, the second chapter, we're going to do it again, all this stuff, and it fizzles and burns. You see, this is a true word from God. And God is saying to you, there's going to be a revival here. We know that. And we're going to see the growth. And it may be one here, two there, three there. But what you've got to do is find time to get with them. They've got to become what you are. They've got to sense your spirit. They've got to trust you. And then they trust the Word of God through you. And you're going to do a quick work. On the day after Pentecost, 7,120. And then there were more added, and miracles started at the synagogue. When they would go in, the third chapter of Acts, they came in. The same synagogue that Jesus said, they're going to turn against you and they're going to kill you. They were in there plundering around, came out, and the lame man was healed, leaped up, carrying on. That's who you are. If I drop dead right now, don't ever forget that's who you are. Now you've got to develop it yourself. God calls all of us, but you have to develop your own ministry. And there's no place to let up. No place to let up. You stay in it in prayer, in prayer, in prayer. There's nothing else that'll work. Man, I promise you, the boys I ran with from the time I was 19 years old, they've tried it all. I promise you, I am just a miracle. From the time I was 17 years old, I just loved to pray. Love to pray. I would read Daniel, the lion's den, that one chapter. Then I'd get on my knees at 17, 18, 19 years old, and I'd pray it. I'd pray it in 15-minute increments. and then I'd change it. I'd start where he did this, and then I'd start in different places. And all I'd do is just praying. My knees were vibrating on that floor. I was carrying on. I'd go to churches around for youth services. They'd ask me to get them to testify. I'd just get up and testify what I'd been praying about, and miracles would happen. I was so green, so young, so ignorant. I didn't know that it was apostolic. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about miracles. And people would just be healed. Eyes would be open. Miracles take place. And I'm standing up there just testifying. I didn't have enough sense to sit down and shut up. You know what I'm saying? If God can do that with me, He can do it with anybody. And that's what we want. That's what you want. To walk in there and lay hands. I fleeced God one, and I didn't know anything about fleecing. I just said, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm 19 years old. I said, God, I don't know what's going on. And these services, they get disrupted, and these people are not going to want me to come back, because every time I go in and just stand up testifying, these crazy things happen. And people that have never played a piano in their life, one of them, a young lady, 15 years old, sat down on the piano and played for 30 minutes, one song after another, after another, after another. I just kept talking and testifying. And during that 30 minutes, everybody was hooping and hollering and carrying on. She got off the piano and walked over here, and all of a sudden she jerked and come alive and sat down. She couldn't go back and play anything. Just crazy stuff. It still happens. It still happens. I can't explain it. I'm telling you, I want greater than that for you. I want it greater than that for you. I want it. God wants you to have greater miracles and signs and wonders. Hallelujah. To where your children and grandchildren walk through the door, go to talking in tongues, worshiping God, praising God, saying, Grandma, I need to get baptized. I'm something's happening to me. Amen. The world is after them. Worse than the world, Satan is after them. Satan has got his cohorts out here trying to brainwash everybody around the world. Amen. I got a phone call. Hang on. Got you. Call me, said Brother Turner. I'm being pursued and chased. I don't know what's going on, but I've noticed a couple of cars that pull out of side streets